Welcome to the Everyday Nerd Podcast. I'm your boy, Lou P, and along with me, alongside always with us, is we will start out with the great Jocelyn. Jocelyn, introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. This is Jocelyn. Call me Joss for short.
Okay, and with us as usual as well, our man, DJ GOC. What's up, player?
What's up, man? Just, I'm looking forward to this podcast.
So, yeah, the last time the folks out there heard us, we obviously talked about the great Avengers movie. And moving on, we obviously are going to talk about the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe movie and the Ant-Man and the Wasp. So here we go. Your thoughts, everybody, on this movie. Let's have Gio. Gio, kick us off. What do you think your thoughts were when you initially saw this movie, and how'd you feel about it? Go ahead.
Honestly, man, I loved it. I loved the first one because it's one of those movies that is just, you're going to go in, you're going to have fun. It's not too serious. It's never too dark. And it's just great. Like, I can watch it a million times, and I'll always find something different with each viewing. But I will also know that I'm going to laugh at each moment. It's a great movie. I loved it. Two thumbs up.
Go ahead, Joss.
Okay, so overall, my thoughts. I always thought it was definitely, it was just so much fun, lighthearted, and I just felt it was just a nice, fresh page from the Infinity War movie from where we left off. So I felt it was just, you know, like a nice breath of fresh air. And I just loved how they, you know, further developed with the character of Hope as Wasp. And I loved her fight scenes. Her fight scenes were definitely on point. And she's just a force to be reckoned with. She's so intelligent. She brings like a nice, you know, sharp edge to Scott and just the overall movie. I just loved her character. So that's just how I view it. But overall, it was just like a nice, fresh movie.
I'm glad you mentioned Hope. She's another strong female character that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is introducing to her. I mean, we first saw a little bit of her in the first Ant-Man movie, but obviously in this one, we got to see her just doing so many amazing things. Even the line that Scott Lang said, oh, wow, you equipped her with this. Oh, you must not have had it when I was around. I go, no, I did. You know, so you just got to love the fact that you saw, like you both have mentioned, the character development. And Joss, excellent point. Coming out of Avengers Infinity War, Marvel needed a movie like this to kind of like, hey, it's not doom and gloom. Here's, you know, hey, we got some fun stuff here too. And that's what I loved about this movie. It kept it wasn't so campy. It kept it light. And for, you know, maybe there could be a handful of hardcores that, you know, when I say hardcores, obviously, you know, the comic geeks out there that we love so much that may not have liked it. They think it was a little too this and that. And maybe they felt there should be more character development with certain people. We're going to obviously talk about the characters when we go through this movie and talk about it more. But, you know, overall, I thought, again, another good experience going through it. You know, watching the movie, it was just an excellent experience. And just, hey, it was fun. The word fun is what, to me, summed it up. And like, Joss, you said it. Coming out of Infinity War, you needed a fun movie. You couldn't get too intense like it was in Infinity War. So.
It was fresh. That's just, I think it was, even if I use the word refreshing, it was just, that's what I should use. It was refreshing. It was just, you know, with Infinity War, there was just a lot of heaviness and so much content that we were, you know, us as viewers, we were just kind of like settled with and just wondering, okay, now what's happening. But with this Ant-Man, it was just like a nice palate cleanser, if that's a great metaphor to say.
Yes.
And
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, thank you so much. But it was, you know, it just like cleanser palate so that, okay, you know what, this is a nice kind of like recheck. Like, you know, there's more to it as far as like other characters who are going to bring in more depth to the next Avengers movie. So I thought this was like the right movie to put right after Avengers. Yep.
So go ahead, Gio. You were going to say something.
No, I was totally agreeing with Joss. I mean, to me, I went in knowing that I was going to have a fun ride, and it did not disappoint.
Okay. Good. And yeah, like we all three of us agree it was much needed. And Infinity War, as much as we were anticipating it and waiting for it, there was so much going on with so many characters, and you were just, you were kind of blown away. You was like so much to take in, while this movie, it's just concentrating on just Ant-Man, the Wasp, you know, Hank Pym, Janet, you know, it just condenses it for you to kind of like take that breath, kind of relax and just enjoy the ride, as opposed to when we did Infinity War. I felt like it was that roller coaster that was going really fast, going up and down, left and right, loops, you know, inverted spins, the whole thing. But then this one was more of a, hey, we're just going to relax now. This is kind of like the boat ride, you know, the boat ride, the log rides, if you guys remember those. Just, you know, relaxing. And then we will get, we'll talk about it later, but we will get that big down drop there. So at this point, we'd like to talk about some of the Easter eggs. If some of you folks out there, you know we have a lot of comic geeks out there, and I'm saying that term affectionately, by the way. We know a lot of you are out there, and you might have picked up on some of these Easter eggs that the movie sent out there. And this, we want to touch on some of these here today. So, Joss, why don't you give us some of your favorites that really jump out at you when it comes to this movie?
Well, one in particular, it just, like, really made me crack up. And, you know, I guess it's, like, dating my age and our age. But, like, when Lewis, you know, when that character, he comes, and it's just before that major fight scene, I think he's in his purple roadster, you know. And so the team's about to meet up, or they're about to fight, and so he drives up right next to Hope in her van, and he goes, "What's that?"
Oh, that was awesome. Nice. Yes, very much. That was a great reference. I loved it.
Timing. He even had to explain it, you know. What's that?
Exactly. When he starts explaining it too, that's what makes it a little more funnier in that sense too.
But I loved his character. I mean, just let me just talk about Luis real quick. So, you know, I just thought he was just such a great comic relief. I mean, they're all funny, but his comedic timing is just hysterical, especially when, you know, the bad guy, Walter Goggins. And so, Lewis, you know, he got caught because he was on his way headed to get Scott to sign off some papers. So he was trying to, like, handle the company, the business. And so he got kidnapped, and then he got injected with, you know, truth serum, even though those guys said, no, it's not truth serum, but it is truth serum. And then, you know, the question was, he just wanted to know, where is Scott Lang? But then I loved how, with this movie, as what they did with the first one, then Lewis starts doing his storytelling, you know, and it's just, he's almost like vomiting, like,
yes,
just the whole life story. But the way he does it, and then the way they portray it with, like, you know, with the way he enunciates the words, and then the characters, you know, like, hey, man, where's Scott? I don't know. But, you know, he was, like, dealing with a divorce back then.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
And then to see the characters, and they're just, like, you know, talking about him, it just cracked me up. I just thought it was just so funny. So those are my highlights, and that's just the one Easter egg that I think just, like, really sticks with me.
Good stuff, Joss. Good stuff. Gio, what jumped out at you when you noticed, when you're watching the movie? Because I know you have much knowledge of the Marvel Universe, so obviously watching this movie, I'm assuming things you saw really jumped out at you immediately. What were some of the ones that really jumped out for you?
Honestly, I mean, I like the question on what Johnson. I love Michael Peña's character. I feel like he brought a lot to the movie. And I'm always looking forward to his scenes. But the one thing that I was looking forward to and interested in seeing how they would portray Ghost. And I was, you know, pleased. Because Ghost is okay. Such a, like, you either know about him or you don't. Well, first of all, it's a woman in this, the MCU, which is cool. I like that. But one thing that kind of, I would like to say, I was really trying to figure out how they would do it, because I like how they kind of combined all the universes with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where she was trained by S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
And, you know, and all that. Just also, I just really like how they did the character. Now, if I were to be nitpicky, I am kind of surprised, like, well, why did they not bring her up during any of the other Marvel, like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show? But, you know, that's me being nitpicky, but I really like the Ghost character. I love Michael Peña. I just, like I said, it was just a great overall movie, and I loved it, man. I mean, I would watch it 3 million times.
Okay, for me, some of the Easter eggs that stuck out to me was, okay, so when we all saw Infinity War, the two questions were, well, where's Hawkeye and the Ant-Man? And, you know, we were like wondering, well, where are these guys? And they summed it up with, oh, well, they're under house arrest. They made a deal with the government. And what's cool about it is we now see the exact time when this movie occurs. So it answers the question, why wasn't Scott Lang available for the Infinity War? Well, the events that we're seeing in this movie was when the Infinity War was happening. See, so, which is kind of interesting. I mean, I was kind of waiting, honestly, guys, I was kind of waiting for maybe like the news would say, hey, you know, there's a big alien spacecraft in New York City or something. I was kind of waiting for something like that, but maybe they didn't want to show their hand too much. You know, I was thinking if they would have done something like that, then it would have kind of, okay, we get what's going on now, what timeline we're on. But obviously, when we're going to talk, obviously, about the post-credit scene, we figure out when this all occurred then. See? And here's another interesting point, the fact that, you know, we're talking about the quantum realm. And there's something interesting that they're going to force, that there's a lot of guesses that we could come up with. We'll talk about that in the conclusion of our podcast here. But what's interesting is that there's a lot of things going on here with Scott Lang. That's what I liked about this movie, too. Being that it was the relaxing ride, you kind of got, again, it's sort of like if you are a comic book reader and you read the main storyline, it's like a side issue that coincides with the story. And that's what I felt about this movie. I said, wow, it's like I'm reading an issue of what the big crossover event is in the comic world. But we're seeing it in movie form. So that's what kind of impressed me about the movie in that term. So we have an idea when this is taking place. It answers the question about where Scott Lang was for Infinity War. And obviously when the movie starts, we notice that, you know, he's not exactly in the greatest terms with Hank Pym, because obviously he stole that suit as opposed to they let him borrow it or they let him use it. They let him, you know, that's funny how they were poking fun at him, like, oh, you know, it's Cap, you know, are you going to go now, you know, type of thing, you know, I love that, how they reference another character that we all know about. And so it kind of perks you up, like, ooh, they mentioned Captain America, you know, type of thing. And that's what I really liked about it. It just kept you, you know, kind of kept you going that, hey, refer back to that main storyline in Infinity War, but we got this story going on here. So, you know, looking at it.
He was on house arrest for, what, 3 years?
Yes,
three
see. Years see, exactly. So that whole time period, he couldn't, you know, he couldn't jump. He couldn't join them anyway, even if he wanted to, I think, guys. He couldn't do it. See, so that really answered the question of why he wasn't there. And, you know, that's great. You know, we think back to Infinity War about how, oh, wow, there's an Ant-Man now and there's this guy now. And, you know, so was it Banner who said that when he first came back? Like, wait, who are all these people now? Who are these new Avengers type of thing, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, so we overall like the movie. You're listening to the Everyday Nerd Podcast here with your boy Lou P. Geo and the great Jocelyn. So just want to say that overall, those are kind of our thoughts on the movie and some of the things that really stuck out for us. What I also liked about the movie is the fact that, you know, how the lab was so important, and yet you could shrink it like it's a walk-on luggage. That was really cool.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. That was so much fun.
How the lab could shrink. And hey, we got to say it. A lot of the Bay Area references and San Francisco references in this movie. But let's be honest, I don't think Stockton Street looks like that. I don't think Broadway looks like that. That looks a lot like L.A., but I won't judge.
Make sure you couldn't add all the strip clubs to the
Yeah, really. Why'd they do that? That would have brought authenticity, I thought. No. Okay, so here it is. So we're watching this movie. We have a nice fun ride, and like I said, I'm feeling like it's like the log or boat ride where we're just relaxing after a long, you know, Infinity War with the intense stuff. And so, You know, obviously, if you're listening to our podcast now, that means you have seen this movie. So we are now going to talk about the post-credit scene. Now, here's the thing. Post-credit scenes, I don't know about you guys, but I still do not understand why people get up at the end of the movie. The end of a Marvel movie. Why are you getting up? I'm now at a point where about 90% of the audience stayed, but I still had people getting up. I'm like, all right, fine. And if they did get up and they did see Infinity War, they missed.
They missed the most crucial part.
Exactly. So who would like to discuss, who would like to bring up the most crucial part about the post-credit scene? Go ahead. Go ahead, Joss. Go ahead, Joss. Or Gio, do it.
All right, so obviously, you know, because of the end of Avengers, he took out half of the MCU characters, obviously. And what I found interesting was when he was stuck in that quantum realm, how Hank, Hope, and Michelle Pfeiffer's character, I'm drawing a blank, they were gone. Like, I was shocked. But what was interesting was Ant-Man was okay. So that kind of got me thinking, wait, so does that mean that Thanos' power with Infinity Stones does not work in that realm?
Ooh.
Interesting. Joss, your thoughts.
I also like how, you know, even just the build-up, we just knew, you know, with when you mentioned that building, how they were able to, you know, make the building really small and portable. Now they're able to make that machine that they built fit into that van, and so they can just, you know, do research and experiments wherever they go. And you know, as they're on top of the building and everything's, you know, going on, he was supposed to go in there to get, I think, was it healing elements?
Yeah, exactly. And
let's go get some healing elements. And so, and then you hear the countdown, you know, and that's the part that I think got me, was in the, you know, they say, okay, we'll pull you in 5, 4, 3, and I don't even think if they even said 3. And then we were like, wait, what happened? And I think for, in my audience, you know, for our, in our theater, my audience, we just gasped.
Yeah.
Because we saw they were gone, and the whole audience just gasped, like, That was the reaction in the theater.
That was mine too. I was like, well, it was like, and like I said, I'm talking about this boat ride, you know, you're just cruising along and boom, there was the big drop. And it's like, whoa. And that's what it is. You immediately got that intense feeling you got when you walked out of Infinity War. It, like I said, you had a nice, relaxing, fun ride, but oh, by the way, this is what's going on. And man, that was pretty interesting how, Joss, like you, my crowd reaction was just a lot of gasping too. They were like, "Whoa!" And then it registered to me because I go, they have to somehow link it in. And I wasn't shocked when I saw the, you know, them dissolve, you know, the, like the burning ash. I knew exactly what happened. Yeah. So with that being said, let's come up with some thoughts on how now this affects next year in 2019 when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Obviously, the two movies that we know coming out is Captain Marvel and, of course, the Avengers. That's the two we know for sure. Now, here's my thought, and again, I always throw out its conspiracy theory on me. You know, I always have to throw it out there. But, you know, being that Scott Lang is caught in the quantum realm, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head, this was the first thing that I thought of was, he's caught in the quantum realm. Who's smart enough to get him out of there? If all the people have just vanished, who's smart enough to get him out of there? And then the first guy that came to mind was Tony Stark, but I go, not Tony Stark. Banner, maybe. But this guy, I go, you know what? I think if certain companies have settled issues, I think possibly we could see this guy named Reed Richards come in and help out, get Scott Lang out. That'd be the perfect way to introduce the Fantastic Four. I mean, that's just me. I'm playing conspiracy theory on that. I know I may be going way out of the box on this one, But I'm thinking this is the perfect time, if they get all this done, to bring in the Fantastic Four and have Reed Richards get Scott Lang out of that quantum realm. Your thoughts?
For once, I'm going to say I don't know. I really don't know how this is going to play out. I mean, I have so many questions as far as, you know, when the next movie hits. I mean, of course, they've got to show Scott still in the quantum realm. I mean, he's got to, I don't know how he's going to get it. Or is it where he crossed paths with someone who has been, you know, dissipated? Did they go into the same area? I don't know. I mean, he's got to interact with another Avenger somehow. And I'm wondering, could this be a place of limbo for these others? You know, I don't know.
Gio, your thoughts?
I don't know.
So this is probably going to be another little far-fetched, but I think that Lawrence Fishburne's character, Bill Foster, will make a comeback. But you got to remember, they were trying to track down the machine, and if it wasn't for Lawrence Fishburne and his suggestion, they would have never tracked it down.
That's true.
But then how would he know? I mean, I guess he would know that he's missing,
Remember, he's missing. He can track down the machine, which is still active, because they disappeared, not the machine.
Yes,
so maybe
that's true.
What's going on? Something's not right. Track it down and realize he's in another realm.
I think out of all our picks, I think Gio might be onto it. I think that could be it. Because
I think you're right.
We noticed at the end of the movie how Ghost basically told Lawrence Fishburne's character, or otherwise known as Goliath, that, hey, go, just go. And I could see if he was one of the ones that wasn't turned to ash, I could see him possibly, and come on, we're talking about Lawrence Fishburne, so he's obviously a great actor, so I could see that happening. So I like it, guys. I really like it. So here it is.
I like that.
So going into it, ladies and gentlemen, that was our review for Ant-Man and the Wasp. We'd love to hear your comments. You know, if you thought we were just totally out of it, or if you totally agree with us, please leave comments, and we'd really appreciate hearing from all of you out there here on the Everyday Nerd Podcast. And we enjoy doing this for you. We have fun doing it. You know, you could tell we're all smiles here and everything. So everybody, just please leave your comments. And if anybody would like to close it out, Gio will go first, and then Jocelyn, go right ahead, Gio.
To me, man, I love the movie. It's great. I love all the characters. It's very lighthearted, very fun, family friendly, but great for even like older comic geeks that are very particular. I'm just looking forward to it, man. Like, everything is just all intertwined, and it's not in a messy way. DC, it makes sense. So, definitely looking forward to seeing how they're going to move forward in the future with this franchise.
Okay. Joss?
I mean, overall, I just think with any of the Marvel, all the characters and the casting, I got to give it up to the casting. I mean, for every single character, you know, the actor or actresses that they pick is just on point. They just bring so much different elements. I just want to quickly mention and just give a shout out to Jimmy Woo. You know, the actor plays the dad on Fresh Off the Boat, and his character.
Loved him.
You know, it's just this movie. Any Marvel movie is just so entertaining, and I loved it. I mean, I don't, so far I can't name, well, we probably could name a Marvel movie we didn't like, but for the most part, this is, you know, above the water. I like it.
Exactly. So maybe if for a future show, we may do something like that. So you folks stay tuned for that one. Me personally, I enjoy whatever the MCU is putting out there. I'm literally just throwing my money, letting Disney just cha-chinging with guys like me. I'm not afraid to admit that, but just looking forward to next year for Captain Marvel, how we get Captain Marvel involved in all this. And of course,
we
will see the ending of what happens to Thanos and everybody at the Avengers for next year. So, for Jocelyn, say goodbye.
Okay, so hey everyone, if you want to follow me, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel called Jocelyn RP. And if you just want to follow my daily blogs and postings, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Watch Jocelyn RP channel.
Gio?
Cool, man. Yeah, no, I don't really have much of a website. I guess, you know, just my regular DJ one, djgoc.com. You know, I got free mixes and all sorts of goodies for you up there. But definitely keep it logged in for future blogs and posts and all that awesome stuff on the Everyday Nerd.
Gio, talk about our Facebook page.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And also, yeah, so make sure you hit us up on the Facebook page at Everyday Nerd Podcast. We're going to have updated blogs, videos, and all sorts of other cool little trivia for you to just kind of browse and get to know us better as well on a one-on-one basis.
Perfect. So you heard him. You heard him, everybody out there. Everyday Nerd, hit us up over on Facebook. We'd love to hear from all of you out there. For your man, Lou P. out here, I'd like to say thank you for listening to our podcast. Till next time.